life. So it's my wife's birthday next week, and I thought she'd come out and get out of buying it first.
Well, for $350, sir.
Isn't that about what they are?
The new rigid one.
Mm-hmm.
Are we ready? All right, we'll call the community development meeting to order. Item two, public comment. No one here to speak. Item three, fixed-based operator agreement for the Wilmer Municipal Airport. And Mr. Renegan is here. You want to come up to the table? Sure can.
I will offer some comments. Following the June 6th termination of the contract with Maximum Cruise Aviation, the city took over fuel operations at the airport. In the meantime, we engaged Eric's Aviation for some additional services at the airport pending the solicitation and review of FBO submittals. The city did receive two proposals for FBO, and following interviews, the city, the interview team selected Oasis Aero Inc., which is Eric Runnigan and Paul Beck, to be the next FBO, and the council subsequently approved that and authorized staff to negotiate an agreement. The agreement has been negotiated. It's a 5-year agreement that will result in a definite higher level of service by the FBO at the new airport. And on the flip side, it's got good potential for increased revenue for the city as well. In the agreement, the city has negotiated a fuel flowage fee of 15 cents per gallon through the end of 2017 and then increasing by 1 cent per gallon each year. With Maximum Cruise, that flowage fee was locked in at 10 cents per gallon. The FBO agrees to pay a little better than $37,000 a year for rent of the FBO facility with a 10 cent per square foot increase each subsequent year. The FBO will provide reimbursable services such as the courtesy service, fuel, records, and on-call services that will be reimbursed at the rate of $738.89 a week based on an hourly rate formula that is part of the agreement. And the agreement also calls that those applicable hourly wages will increase by 5 cents per hour beginning in 2018 and each subsequent year. The city attorney drafted the agreement and has reviewed Oasis Aero insurance policy. And following that process, it's a recommendation of staff that the committee recommend a resolution that accepts the FBO agreement and authorizes the mayor and administrator to execute the agreement.
Questions from the committee? Mr. Blum.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. With regards to fuel flowage, in the past, fuel prices have been problematic one way or another. I guess I don't have any reason to believe that that trend is going to continue in the future. However, do we have the ability in the future to address it, should it be problematic?
It's an interesting question.
In terms of how the pricing is set.
Well, I think since the former FBO contract was terminated and the changes have been made to the fuel system out there and the fuel pricing, fuel sales have just been tremendous.
Which is exactly where we want it to stay.
Yeah. I've not heard anything from the FBO that would indicate that they would want to move in and raise prices to squash those sales. I still believe that volume is the way for the FBO to make profit on the fuel, as well as increase the city's profitability with the flowage. I guess Eric, we'd welcome your philosophy on fuel prices.
You bet. So one of the difficult thing when looking at fuel prices in the area. If you take a look at Painesville or Litchfield, for example, or Benson, three of our closest airports, the fuel prices at Painesville, Litchfield, and Benson have been, for the last 15 years, considerably lower than Wilmer's prices. And they currently are considerably lower than Wilmer's prices, even though when the city took over, the price was dropped. I think that day it went down 50 cents or something like that a gallon. At any rate, the difference is this. The fuel in Painesville, Litchfield, and Benson is owned by the city. The system is owned by the city, and there's nobody at the airport. Mm-hmm. There's no staff to deal with it. A 24-hour credit card machine, no option for full service. And so they pick a number, and the number is typically, say, 20 cents a gallon over their cost is what they will mark their price up. So you can see if we're paying the city 15 cents a gallon, 5 cents a gallon certainly won't cover our insurance costs to retail fuel into an aircraft. So there's going to be some markup there. And we aren't really interested in competing with those places on fuel. What has been frustrating for aircraft owners is in the not so distant past, there was no option for, say, a discount for on-field customers or things like that. You know, if you bring your airplane to the fuel pump, pump your own fuel, run it on a credit card or through a billing system, there really should be a lower price for those individuals. I mean, that's the FBO, for the FBO to say, well, we're going to make a whole bunch of money off of those guys is really not a good policy, in my opinion. So what Oasis Aero's plan is to have a tiered pricing structure based on both the ability to pre-purchase fuel in a volume discount manner, and also simply a discount for being on the field. We'll also offer discounts for people who are service customers, which again won't put us exactly on those Painesville, Litchfield, and Benson numbers. But you know, if we can be within a reasonable amount of that, I think that's what people are looking for. I really feel like we can do that with some competitive pricing. We are looking also at branding the fuel once again, Phillips 66 branding. There are some very positive things that can come with that. Most significantly, the acceptance of aviation-specific credit cards. And there are a lot of companies that use nationally known aviation fleet cards, essentially. So these are contract fuel cards. And it happens on a pretty regular basis. In fact, when we were meeting with Megan and Bruce one time, the folks from Hormel were up, and they would have preferred to have used a fleet card could we have been able to accept it. So just, I think, important stuff moving forward. So I hope that addresses the concern, and certainly we are more than willing to show the expenses that we will have against the fuel to any council members and at a council meeting if we need to show where those dollars are going.
To an extent, the agreement requires the FBO to share financial information with the city, Okay. Specifically for those reasons. We don't have any suspicions that there's going to be any games played with the fuel, but just for transparency's sake,
of course,
the language is in the agreement that allows the city to request that information.
And I guess that was just the main concern, is not that we don't expect to run into this whatsoever, because I have full faith and confidence in our new FBO and the way they operate, but the concern was both locally and abroad that the pricing structure before was just completely arbitrary, and there were plenty of times where you would pull up the state list and we were like absolute, at the top of the, we were maybe okay for Jet A, but for 100 low lead we were like the highest price in a 100 mile radius, which is kind of crazy, and there was no rhyme or reason to it, and it would kind of bounce all over the place. So to hear that there is going to be a structured program that has maybe a barometer to follow, that eases my concerns about it.
So do we have the newest and most modern reader cards out there now for credit cards, or do we need something yet for the
So the 100 low lead is in good shape. The jet fuel one has just been upgraded with some assistance from the federal government. We were able to find a way to make that work. And The functionality of that is on hold right now, so that we were thinking we could avoid two hookup charges, basically, as we input the information in there. And so, but by the end of the month, they both will be up to date. And then it really goes back to the company that you have processing the cards. So currently, you know, we're using the city's processing company, and that's, you know, pretty basic Visa, MasterCard, Discover, American Express, Apple Pay, I think we take. As we would transition, we will have a very aviation-specific company processing the cards, and that includes things like multi-service and AV card, and there's a Colt fuel card, some Phillips 66-specific cards.
These are for heavy volume users.
They are. So typically, if you take like your NetJets of the world, they... you know, if they sent a Visa with the pilot on a 7-day on trip, it would have $60,000-$70,000 worth of jet fuel on it, say over a week or a week and a half period, and that would be problematic. And so they negotiate with contract fuel companies, and really what it ends up being is you swipe a card, but rather than acting like a Visa card, it really starts in motion an invoicing process that takes a little bit longer to process back to us. But it makes the difference maybe between, okay, we need 100 or 200 gallons just to get to our next destination, and, oh, you accept this card? Well, then let's put 500 or 800 gallons on. And that's really the business that we're hoping to be able to work with.
You can market that.
We certainly will be marketing that, absolutely.
That's great.
Yep.
One other thing that hasn't been publicized a lot, though we've heard about it internally, is the renewed relationship between Mooney and the Willmar Airport, and the work that Eric and Paul have done with Mooney too. It's not really a franchise.
We're called an authorized factory service center.
Yeah.
And so Mooney has sales centers, but they only sell, so they sell airplanes through sales centers. They sell parts through authorized factory service centers. And so we are one of just, there's about 30 in the country, I think 36 maybe. And the only one physically located in the state of Minnesota, so that's a positive. And we've already started to get some phone calls again of people saying, all right, we need some parts. So
inventory time, right?
We hope that we can slowly build that inventory up and continue or put Willmar back on the map as the place for Moonies.
But you'll work on other planes?
We will, yeah. In fact, we are currently talking with a couple of different certified mechanics to try to, as soon as we can get into the building, get the staff starting to grow. And one of the mechanics that we're talking with has about 20 years of experience, which includes some twin Cessna experience. And so, you know, we've been talking to some of the folks on the field that are flying those kind of airplanes. And we want to, though we will not be able to provide all of the maintenance for all of the airplanes on the field because of specialization and certain things that we won't be able to tool up for, we want to be able to provide maintenance to as many people as possible. And certainly, in fact, we've already done this, the Dunnett companies on their TBM needed a nose tire, and that's a turbine airplane and something that we aren't typically going to be working on, but a nose tire is kind of a nose tire, so we put a new nose tire on for them, you know. So we're trying to do some things like that to where you don't have to fly to Minneapolis or Des Moines or somewhere else to get those little minuscule service items, you know. So
then you'll have someone on call then 24 hours a day if we need help.
Yep, we will have on call support. We intend to be open at a minimum 8 to 5, 7 days a week. We will be staffing the terminal on the weekends. It might take us a bit of time to ramp up to that. We haven't hired people yet, but we've got some folks in mind, and we're certainly looking to do that. I think, you know, on the weekends, a lot of times it's pretty slow, but the reality is if you fly into an airport on a Sunday afternoon and there's nobody around, you're probably less likely to fly into that airport next Sunday afternoon. You know, versus if you fly in there and there's a friendly face sitting behind the desk or washing an airplane or mopping the floor, and you kind of see some activity and it makes you feel good about, well, shoot, if I was here and I blew a tire out, I wouldn't be stuck in on the ramp in Wilmer for a week or something. So so we feel that's important. And again, those will kind of be minimum hours, really. Typically, Paul and I are there quite early in the morning. We'll be there when we need to make it happen. So,
and a courtesy car, do you have that, or so is that our responsibility?
We currently have two vehicles that Paul and I have been lending out since the termination of the FBO contract, simply to try and not be so far behind the eight ball, if so to speak. We certainly would welcome any city participation that would be willing to be there with old squad cars or things like that, where we would do the maintenance on them and keep them full of fuel and change oil and things of that nature. But if the city opts not to do that, we will have courtesy transportation. And then there are those times. I mean, there's been times where my car is gone, Paul's truck is gone, my dad is giving somebody a ride to a hotel, and I'm giving someone a ride to get Jimmy John's. You know, I just sometimes, it's not very often, but sometimes it seems like when it rains, it pours, you know, and so we try to do whatever we can to take care of people.
It is worth looking into. I think it's a big deal with municipal airports, because we fly to quite a few regional airports for projects or whatever, and we only need to be there for an hour. And we choose the airports we're going to based on whether or not they have a courtesy car available. Yeah. And if they don't, we go to the next town over. Mm. And so, you know, and if we have to take on, if it happens that we have to take on fuel, we end up at the place buying fuel from them and spending money there where they have the courtesy vehicle.
The MnDOT did a survey, kind of a non-scientific survey of pilots, and it was a number like 80% said one of their, what was one of their top considerations landing at an airport was whether or not a courtesy vehicle was available. So it is a big thing, whether it be on the weekends or not. And so certainly we take that as part of our responsibility as an FBO to make the airport as good as it can. But, you know, the more the merrier kind of deal. And again, we would offer to maintain that vehicle, do oil changes, things like that, if the city was able to do something. We do have an insurance policy that covers our vehicles when other people are driving them, but certainly that is a concern that cities have had in the past. There are some League of Minnesota Cities ways around that, we would welcome any participation there as well.
Like he said, it doesn't have to be anything fancy by any means, and we go through enough. I mean, they have an auction every year or twice a year, right? Where are we at?
I think we're down to one a year now.
In May,
one
for sure.
Yep.
Yeah. In the fall, they did once in a while. Mm-hmm.
But since we've gone through this process with Eric and Paul, our faith and excitement in the airport is back at a high level, and we're just really excited to see things take off out there again. So yeah, that's kind of a bad pun. But
I like
so
it.
Public Works, do they still plow the runway?
Oh, yeah.
They mow it too then? Or
no, the mowing is done under the agreement we have with Eric's Aviation, and that's something else that with Eric being involved in both of those, his Eric's Aviation contract runs out the end of 17. And so in this agreement, it just says we'll sit down and analyze the FBO agreement and the operations agreement and see if there's ways that we can create some consistencies and
maybe
efficiencies. Yeah. And we thought about that, about doing that now, but it would have taken a lot longer, so we're prepared to just let the 1 year play out on the Eric's Aviation and operate the two contracts for 2017, but we're just anxious to get this going.
Yeah. Work out the bugs.
And I did, I just talked with Gary from Public Works this week. We had just a short conversation knowing that there might be snow coming tomorrow with how the snow removal goes, and the Public Works guys, just hats off to them. They do a great job. We have one of the best airport conditions winter-wise across the state, especially of an airport our size. You know, typically if if you're going to land someplace with as runway conditions as good as ours, they've got full-time staff 24 hours a day at the airport plowing. So our guys are just, they do a great job. They really do.
And the helicopter ambulance, that's working out good there?
Yeah, that's been working out well. They actually just, in what I thought was a good sign for longevity, they just paved the parking area that they have around their office building, their quarters building, and so that was, I thought, a real good sign of good faith on their part to say we're dedicated to this spot. They went through a few growing pains as we worked out where to actually have them housed and how that was going to work, and the spot they're in now seems to be working well. They're happy with their response times. They're happy with their call volume. And I guess in the interest of full disclosure, my little brother is one of the flight paramedics that works out there. And so it's kind of fun for me to have some family out there. But it sounds from him like things are going very well. In fact, he's kind of been elevated to a base lead type position there. And he tells me that things are working out very well. So their hangar neighbors, especially now with the paved parking lot area, have been very patient with the taxiway things, and now that's all gone away as far as rocks on the taxiway and stuff. So we're fortunate to have them here, and fortunate just for the whole region to have that quick response time available. So that's going well.
And the flooding or water seepage issues, has that been taken care of now, or?
So there's water issues on the airport property. The issues that were in the main terminal building especially have been remedied. We've had good dry floors. 8-10 years ago there was a shop vac to vacuum the water when it rained. That stuff has been remedied. We're working through a master plan update right now, and then the next project, which as early as next summer will be going on, is a drainage and taxiway rehabilitation project in the private hangar area. And so that will help to alleviate some of the water issues there. I think like a lot of this area, there's the high ground isn't there to be found, and so we have to deal with the cards we've been dealt, and we've got some good plans, I think, moving forward. The Bolton and Mink was at the last Airport Commission meeting talking about some of those plans. They got some good feedback from some of the hangar owners, and I commend them, Bolton and Mink, for that, is allowing people to comment and say, did you think about this, or have you tried this? They've been very open to at least letting people have their say, and that's a very positive thing, I think. So.
If I can add to that, they're putting together a really good structure for making that master plan. They put together a group of people kind of representing all different interests. I'm on it, so I represent kind of the city, and then there's some aircraft owners and then some commission members. And so it's a little bit of everybody, and then they're specific engineers. They know what they're doing. They know what they're talking about. So I'm super comfortable with the process thus far. It seems like they're organizing it really, really well. Get frequent emails and
updates. Good they're taking feedback. A lot of times you can't talk to them because they know that.
I know they're very friendly, and I experience that on a daily basis. This is opposite that. They're very open.
Yeah, Silas, one of the engineers that's assigned to our airport, came out, walked with me all around the private area, hangar areas, so we could look at actual, it's very easy to see spots where water is ponding and where issues are, and he was very, very interested in getting a good basis to start this project from, so it was very good.
Any other questions? Tim?
Nope.
Dennis?
I'm good. I'm excited that some of the things are moving forward in a good positive direction. That's good to hear.
About time.
I think 6 months back, and I'm happy we're here now.
So we need a motion to accept this?
Motion to accept as presented.
Second. Further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That carries. Thank you, Eric.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Eric.
And we look forward to, you can kind of plan on, at least at the full council level, we'd like to give it maybe a yearly update as we keep going through this. I'm an oddball who really kind of likes to stand up and talk to people, especially about airplanes. So we'll try to keep the council informed as to what's going on
maybe
as well.
Maybe we could have a committee meeting out there sometime.
That would be great. Cool. Absolutely.
Yeah. They got that nice, great facility.
I haven't been out there for a long time.
They got a great meeting room.
Fly somewhere warm for a committee meeting.
I mean, we could do,
we
that,
do
too.
That too. Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
See you.
All right. Item 4, Industrial Park land sale.
First of all, I'll apologize for the delay in getting the purchase agreement out to the committee. Robert was backlogged on a few things after he came back from France, and we thought we'd have it the end of last week and didn't get it till earlier this week. But it's a very standard purchase agreement. The city has been approached by ISCO Inc. to purchase the lot that's directly across Airport Drive from the Bueller Manufacturing Facility. The purchase price is approximately $330,000, and this is based on the full price that the city has set it at. The purchaser has also proposed to create 33 new positions within the next 2 years. By the middle of 2018, they anticipate they'll have these positions created. Under the terms of our land write-down policy that provides a company with a credit of $330,000, basically reducing their out-of-pocket purchase price to zero, the purchase agreement has been drafted by City Attorney Robert Scott and is a standard format that we've used for other industrial park transactions. ISCO is a parent company or parent investor to Bueller, and they are headquartered in Winnipeg, Manitoba. They are very bullish on the Wilmer location, very bullish on the ag economy. They said they're seeing things turn around internationally in agriculture, and they're looking at establishing some different manufacturing lines here. The initial construction on the property that they're looking at purchasing will probably be a facility for inventory storage. Some cold storage, but by moving some of that to the property across the road, they're able to utilize additional space inside for production, and that's why they're going to need the additional people. They said that 33 is about the bottom of what they'd see within 2 years. They're hoping to see add 50 plus.
Questions, Dennis?
Question on that comment. The 33 that they add, will that, does that have to be in the facility that they're getting the write down on? Right? Not Bueller across the road?
No, it will be for Bueller. It will be for the plant as a whole.
The whole, and both properties.
And
then,
the reason this is a little odd is because they're contiguous properties separated by public right of way. So they didn't have the option of buying property adjacent to them.
Okay.
And so, in talking with Robert, the business subsidy agreement will be written in such a way that increased production jobs at Bueller will be credited to this purchase here because they are the parent company.
Okay. One more. Yeah. What wage, what are they looking at? I mean, these are warehouse type jobs then, I'm gathering.
They provided me with some information that indicated their lowest paying jobs would be in that 17, 18 range and up from there. And they have quite a few in the lead positions that are 25 to 30 bucks an hour.
So if they build a warehouse building on this site, they're going to remodel their existing building?
Well, they don't really have to remodel it. They can just take advantage of that space to...
It's already finished,
yeah,
heated.
To make ready for production, yep.
Sprinklered and all that?
It's ready.
It needs,
yep,
cold. Okay.
Yep.
And my other concern is we have one company that's leaving now, a guy from Benson.
Mm-hmm.
So some of those employees might be going over here.
I can't speak to that. I know those employees were offered positions in Benson.
Okay. So these 33 positions, since they aren't with this company now, that would qualify, even though they're working in Wilmer.
No. Yeah, I don't know how you'd write a policy or administer a policy to say, okay, if you worked at this place, you don't qualify here. That'd be a little bit of a challenge, but you could see some employees cross over.
It'd be hard to believe that a bunch of employees, I mean, if the business was just moving, but they're not downsizing, I mean, you wouldn't think all their employees would just, you wouldn't think they would move if their employees were going to leave them, right? I mean, because it's your skilled labor that are familiar.
I'd like to have that discussion at a different time.
Yeah.
This is a different company, a unique company that I hold some special opinions on. And
fair enough.
So the building that they want to build in the near future, is that the next 2 years then for storage?
Yes.
And you had mentioned that might be like our salt building?
Well, you're starting to see a lot of that. There's very, very high-quality membrane structures that are being put up. It would be, obviously, it's going to be built to a different level in our salt structure, but that's the same basic.
Because, I mean, this is kind of a showcase lot there, right on the corner of 5 and Wilmer Avenue. Get a lot of traffic, so.
No, this is going to be two lots east of 5. There'll still be two other lots west of this before you get to 5.
Where that low area is in the ditch?
Yeah, there's a swale through there, and there's a corner lot there, and then there's another lot, and there's this property. So
connected
not,
to the Bird property then?
Right, it'll be right adjacent to the old terminal hangar area. Yeah.
Good. Don't we have covenants that restrict or require certain aesthetics to a building?
Yes. Yeah.
And they have to adhere to that. Existing.
Yep. And that's in this section too. I know across
third
the road.
Third edition and fourth edition. And this is part of third edition. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. When I prepared those covenants, I wanted to include third edition.
Okay. That's good.
So do they have to have a holding pond or anything like that for?
They do not. Third edition and fourth edition have all been designed with regional ponds.
To go into the under the road there. Okay. So it shouldn't cause any more flooding.
What's their timeline for, is there a timeline in the land write down program for when construction must begin by? Or is it just the staffing requirement?
Because they didn't request any write down for capital investment, only for the employment side of it, that it would be just for the employment schedule and employment goals deadlines.
So if they don't hire 33 people in 2 years?
They get a bill in the mail. They understand that very clearly. Okay. They mention that in every conversation. So.
Well, they're taxed. I mean, the property is taxed. Now it's owned by them. So
yep.
If they do nothing with it, I mean, they're still paying taxes on it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but it's assessed at $66,000, so it's not going to be very much. I'd rather see a nice big facility there.
And I think over time, you know, that's their goal. But they said their initial plan is to increase employment in the plant and to build a building for inventory.
Tim?
How come it's the parent company and not the existing facility that we've got that's the purchaser? I guess does this ISCO own the existing property, or?
I believe they do, yes.
Do they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because there was a concern from the attorney, wasn't there? He couldn't find.
I think it's because it wasn't an American company. They're a Canadian company.
Yeah. He checked some Canadian registry and didn't find it, but that, I don't know. That means.
And Bueller has ties across Europe, into Eastern Europe, into the Soviet bloc.
Versatile.
Yeah, they got long arms. This company does, so they're a big international player in the equipment range.
It's not that their USA headquarters.
They have not indicated that they wish to designate it as such. We could perhaps write that language into the business subsidy agreement.
Well, it'd be nice.
We would like it to be. That'd be great.
Any other questions? What would the committee like to do?
Move to approve.
Is there a second?
I will second that.
Further discussion? I see you're thinking, Tim.
No, I'm actually trying to read some of that stuff here.
No.
Having a little trouble focusing on this crap.
Well, we got a motion to approve it. You know, we'll talk about it on Monday. So all those in favor, Andrew?
Well, I was just going to say, you know, as long as if it adheres to the policy that we have in place, if we question the policy, then we should take a look at that policy, and we should address the policy on its own. But if this adheres to the current policy in place,
it does.
It is consistent, yes.
Then it is what it is.
I've had those conversations with the company and with Robert.
Cool.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? That carries. We'll go to council on Monday. All right. Building construction update. You got 8 minutes.
Yeah. Well, this won't take very long. I just provided some statistics so you could get a view of where we're at for 2016 relative to 2015. The number of permits is up just under 10%. The number of single-family homes has more than tripled from last year to this year. Total construction values are up by over 50%. Building permit revenue is up by over 50%. Plumbing permits are up somewhat. The mechanical permits are way up. That's primarily due to some of the flooding we had and some of the damage that was caused in that flooding. You can see that even though the permits are mechanical are way up, the revenues are not, and that's because of the council's decision to not charge permit fees for that. So that's worked very well. The public has been very appreciative of that, being able to come in here and get the permit and know that the city's working with them. Overall, our department revenues are about $100,000 ahead of last year, and that would be including the plan review fees, which are up by about $24,000 over last year. You know, and it's been a good construction season. Other than some wet periods, this fall has been really good. It's really given some of these projects a chance to make a lot of progress. Hobby Lobby will be open in about 60 days, and that's amazing what they've done out there.
Those guys are so fast.
Yeah.
So fast.
School's moving ahead well. Did the first footing inspections at the high school, at the gymnasium additions today. So keeping all of those projects on schedule. We'll see what the weather does here in the short term.
So they got the footings in at the high school?
Some of them.
Some of them.
Yeah.
Okay. And then at the new elementary.
Yeah.
Are they done fix that pond there, because the water kind of breached and went over into the ditch? It's a little low on the southeast side.
Yeah. Well, there is an elevation for outflow.
Yeah, but the water was too much and it overflowed and went into
it. Now that they've got it built, there's a pipe that should take the water out of there before it breaches, unless it comes so fast that the pipe can't take it.
Yeah.
Then it's, to the best of my knowledge, I thought Sean had said that they had repaired the damage caused by the rain. But
no, there's still a dip area there. Okay. Right next to the
well, that's a civil
ditch.
Matter. I'll ask Sean about that.
And I see they put the culverts in.
Yep.
For that crosswalk. Well,
not even I heard about
the that. Residents wanted it all enclosed at one time, and then they changed and said they wanted a bridge, and that was like a day before they were putting the culvert in.
Well, they put in 160 feet of culvert for a 10-foot wide bridge, so they got a pretty good safety margin on each side of that. It's another one of those things that it's going to be very evident where you're supposed to walk, and at some point some parenting may have to play a part in exactly where those children walk.
Any questions on the building construction? Dennis?
I'm excited to see 35 homes. Are most of those out in the Koosman area and in that area?
We've actually had them scattered around. We got homes in the south, the southwest, further to the east in the Woodbury addition, south of Nelson International. I would say probably a third of them are in the Terraplane addition that Koosman did, the single-family rentals.
What would you guess the single-family rentals? Okay, that's, I'm wondering about the affordability of what are we seeing a lot of homes being constructed that would fall into the affordable category?
No.
Okay, so there's still probably an issue there.
Absolutely. This vision 2040 housing group met earlier this week. We've been in contact with a developer and have some draft plans for a tax credit project. Additionally, we've dealt with proposed investors, developers for market rate rentals. The interest is out there in the marketplace, but it's a slow process to bring those projects to the table.
Any other questions? Old business. I see the house at Campbell Avenue is torn down. It's
yes, it gravel. Is. Yep.
Went to the Southern court then?
Yeah, ultimately it did go to court. And let me tell you, that property owner's been a very interesting one to deal with. He's made a lot of threats to staff. He's posted stuff on Facebook about staff. Has not been pleasant. Made an ass of himself in court, and the judge did all she could do to control herself and not get off the bench and slap him around, I think. I mean, he was so...
Oh, he wanted to keep the building or what?
No, what he wanted to do is beat up on the way the city handled things. And the judge reminded him that he was lucky he was even being allowed to speak because he never responded. He failed to respond to the court summons. Paperwork, yeah, whatever, and yeah, he just showed up in court. And
well, doesn't, but you post on social media account?
Only if he's friends with the court, Tim.
What the hell do you know about social media?
I don't, you and I are. Well, everybody relies on it, Dennis, so it's like, I now all of a sudden it doesn't work? I mean,
does the district court have a Facebook page that we can friend?
There you go.
I wouldn't doubt it. It wouldn't surprise
so,
me.
So that's
the
how you
police
can,
have a...
I know.
And the city has a Facebook page. I mean, it's like...
We do?
I think so.
Yeah, we do.
I'm impressed
they
with
do,
your knowledge.
They do. Facebook, well, they talk about it at some of these meetings.
I know. I thank you for your hard work and your wife.
And when they say Facebook, it's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Can't be important to me.
But thank you again.
Doesn't affect me.
Exactly. Exactly. We're driving along. What says Andrew Plowman said something nice about you? I said, did I die? Oh.
Did he said, sit there. What? Did he think I died?
Oh, yes. All right. New business. Guess not. We're adjourned then.
Time for library.